Welcome to the Ask Drone You podcast, where it's all about answering your drone questions today so you can fly better, safer, and even get paid tomorrow. And now, your hosts. One is a man of few hairs, and the other likes to be called Rob Burdick and Paul Lincoln.
Hello, everybody. This is Rob.
And I'm Paul, and you're listening to a very controversial episode of Ask Drone You.
Controversial indeed, Paul.
Well, let's talk about privacy, Rob.
Absolutely, guys. Welcome to episode number 162. Thanks again for being with us. We appreciate it so very much. And yeah, man, California is just off the rocker.
Well, you know, I've seen a lot of people move out of California because of the legislation, the restrictions, frankly. The
taxes.
I don't know why anyone would want to live there anymore.
Well,
I mean,
it's just such a beautiful place.
It is.
It's an awesome place.
But you pay triple to live there.
I know, not to mention
and then you deal with the earthquakes. The traffic.
And the traffic and...
And the stuck-up SoCal girls.
Well, I wasn't going to go there because there are nice people there in California. I know some and love some people there.
But I do,
man,
too.
Man, I don't know how people live there. I really don't.
It's got to be expensive. That's what I keep coming back to, because I would love to live in California. But my buddy Sean Cummings, who's a pro rider for Centurion Boats, he lives outside of San Jose, or he lives in San Jose in the foothills.
Yeah.
And all the traffic they deal with, it's like, man, I don't know how anyone is sane. I really don't.
But they have the ocean. They have the beach.
Yeah, but you think about all those people that live there, and the beaches are crowded. How fun really is the beach?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe for the ultra uber wealthy, and they have private beaches.
That's how
I befriend those folks.
You know what I would do is, if I was ultra wealthy, I would have a multi-story house with multi-story pools. You know, the pools that like kind of go off the
disappearing edge pools.
Infinity
yeah.
pools. I would infinity have three pools. Infinity pools. That leads into a grotto in a cave, and I would have horses and hot women taking care of my
oh
wife.
My. Did you say hot women taking care of my wife?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Okay.
Massages
and
daily.
And so would you have a dock with a pirate ship?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Would have a dock with a pirate ship. That's why I have the grotto with the cave. So
of course.
You know.
Of course.
In there, you would have very warm, luscious, clear waters.
Wow, that sounds cool. So do you think we could create this scenario at Elephant Butte Lake in New Mexico?
Probably not.
No? Okay.
I wouldn't want to.
Because we're not moving to California.
No.
So.
But let's get into privacy. You know, reasonable rights to privacy have been kind of a topic and an issue here in the drone world. And more so as we see more legislation hitting the books. You can see what states have imposed legislation and what states have proposed legislation. Very recently, New Mexico even got on the ballot with some drone legislation. And I think this is actually a very, very important topic, Rob. We're talking about privacy here. And when we get to the end of this podcast, I'm going to throw something out there that we've been working on for quite some time that we're not going to end up developing. But it'll really throw a ring in the whole privacy talk. It really will.
Well, and as we've said all along, Paul, it's something that all of us drone pilots, I'll use the term us loosely, but that's okay.
Hey, you got a drone in your office now.
That's
so.
Right. Drone pilots must be aware of, sensitive to, take seriously, but governments are starting to overstep their bounds, it seems.
You know, and this is one of the reasons that we created Legal Flyer, the application. We know that, you know, privacy concerns are a big deal. And there are existing laws on the books, but it's actually the FCC laws, not FAA laws. And what are we talking about? We're talking about property releases. When you're filming and flying over properties, you need a property release in order to use the footage commercially. Whether you're flying for real estate and you catch an adjoining house, whatever it is, the best way to play it safe is just to have that property release form. Legal Flyer, the app, is the fastest, most convenient way to get it. But the more important part about that is when you go to these adjoining houses and whatnot, you get the time to educate people in the community. And that's what this is really all about. But privacy is a big deal. And now California has even has put a bill through the House. They've put a bill through the Senate.
Yep.
And what?
Sitting with old Govey Brown right now.
Govey Brown. We actually tried calling Govey Brown. No response. I did press the English button, though. Classic
yes.
California.
Very nice. I think a lot of New Mexico places have that as well.
They
actually.
Do. Arizona. But you go to Colorado or you go to Virginia and there's no press two for Spanish. So.
Certainly less. Yeah.
But anyway, you know, going back to this whole privacy rule, California has enacted a law that is sitting on the desk of the governor that could become law as soon as next month. That would eliminate your ability to fly over an adjoining property. If you flew 350 feet or below AGL over a property, that person would not only have the authority and right to sue you, but they wouldn't even have to prove that you actually flew over their property.
Well, and they wouldn't have to prove that you collected any data, any photos, right, any video. None of that has to be proven. So I suppose it's simply a matter of them perhaps photographing the fact that you were above them, or you're saying that's not even necessary?
Well, that's not even necessary.
How are they going to prove that?
Well, here's the funny thing. When this bill originally came out, Rob, it was actually a very good bill because a homeowner would have to establish four different points of evidence mm-hmm. to prove that the drone pilot was actually breaking the law. And those four points were the operator knowingly violated the land owner's rights. The operator captured any type of visual image, sound recording, or other physical impression of the plaintiff, and the image or recording of the plaintiff showed them engaging in private, personal, or familial activity, and the invasion of privacy was in a matter that is offensive to a reasonable person.
All of which makes sense.
Absolutely.
We should not be doing those things.
Well, the key thing about that, and I think what Vic would interject here, is that, you know, you have to prove the intent.
Right.
Because, you know, what if you have a kid flying and he goes into the neighbor's yard because he lost GPS or something, you know? And there are so many scenarios that are like that. And it's sad that we live in a world today where people are so afraid of the government. They are so afraid of being spied on, you know? It's just, it's sad.
It is sad. And I think that with this issue, for the foreseeable future, particularly if this bill does get through the governor's office, people are going to really need to be careful because the judges, I would imagine most of them, the government, they're going to want to make an example of people. And they're going to be throwing the book at people. And it's going to be really interesting. So don't go into these fights if you get into one because you've been sued or whatever, thinking that you're likely to win. I don't think you would be likely to win.
No. I think the only way you would be likely to win is, you know, if you can prove that you were higher than 350 feet, but there's only a 50-foot window there that you have to fly. Here's my thing, Rob. After 200, 250 feet, what, you know, someone would really have to go out of their way to prove that you were over their property at 250 feet because you wouldn't be able to hear them.
They'd almost have to send their own drone up.
To take a picture of it. Yeah. I'm going to prove that you were flying over my land, and I proved it with my drone.
That's right.
Jeez. Classic California, though, the land of lawsuits.
It is. It is. And it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting.
Well, you know, I think it's going to be, if we talk about problems, I think the people who are going to have the biggest problem first are going to be realtors because they use it the most, more than I would think anyone else.
Well, and I think...
What about construction sites, too?
Construction sites, because when you are filming a house or a construction site, you have to go away from the property to properly capture the property, right?
Correct.
Which puts you, by definition, probably or likely in another person's property. So that's... You're going to have to be very careful with that.
We are. So, SB 142, California law, California proposed law. What can we do to stop this from happening?
Well, I think they said that the governor has until September 9th. And keep in mind, guys, we're talking about SB 142 and we're talking about California. But make no mistake about it, this is the first domino.
This is...
If not the second or third domino.
Once this falls, your local area is next. Your region is next. This could set a precedent that would severely, severely hurt industries. And actually, Forbes wrote in here about how this would really hamper Amazon's, you know, ability to do business, which is a big point. This article written by Gregory McNeil, I'm sure you guys know who he is. He wrote this on Forbes and said, we're already seeing industry starting to propose 200 feet as a sensible limit of elevation. The graphic below illustrates Amazon's plan, which features a high-speed drone transit zone from 200 to 400 feet in an area below 200 feet that is localized or that is made for localized traffic. It's a pretty good proposal, although one question is whether they are seeking to exclude certain types of drones from the 200 to 400-foot high-speed corridor, which may unnecessarily limit non-delivery applications. So there are good and bads, it seems, to everything. But, you know, Gregory says here, none of this is the fault of the legislators. That is an unsettled area of law with rapidly evolving technology. Getting the altitude limit wrong is understandable. I made the mistake myself, thinking 350 feet was the right altitude, as it would provide a 150-foot transit zone for the safe operation of drones. I now think that's too restrictive, stifling innovation, a free use of technology, without providing any real benefits to persons on the ground. The fact that well-intentioned people can get this wrong suggests that many more informed parties need to be involved in the process of creating sensible legislation. And having more parties at the table when making rules is something that has already begun through the U.S. Department of Commerce's multi-stakeholder process regarding drone privacy. I had the privilege of speaking at the first multi-stakeholder meeting, and I found that there's a great deal that can be learned by having the right people in the room, especially when it comes to balancing privacy with innovation and individual rights, which is why the California bill is frustrating from a privacy perspective. Taking away important protections that prevent unnecessary litigation doesn't serve anyone. It creates a circumstance where people are more inclined to sue even when there is no proof of harm. And that's what it comes down to, Rob, is that if you fly over someone's property, the burden of proof is low.
Yeah, and it's way too low. It's way too low, and it's going to be a problem if this goes forward. So you asked, what can people do? Well, first of all, the window's very short here. If you haven't already been contacting legislators, and you don't have to live in California to let them know what you think, by the way, you can contact the governor's office there in California, and there's actually a link within this particular article that we're looking at that you can go to contact them and let them know what you think. But again, the governor has until September 9th, so that's just what? Next Wednesday.
That's a few days. That's InterDrone.
Yeah. Yeah,
so they're going to have to make an announcement before InterDrone on what they're going to do. But you guys do have the opportunity to make a difference. We're going to publish this podcast and promote it in hopes that we can make a difference. And guys, please share this podcast to get the word out there. You can make a difference if you go to amagov.modelaircraft.org and you'll see the SB 142 right there. You click the SB 142. And you can, submit your thoughts and whatnot. Guys, please, 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 please be intelligent in your responses and try to focus on the value of innovation, the value of the community.
I think the value of your understanding of the importance of these privacy laws and how I think that they underestimate how important the community of drone pilots and RC enthusiasts do treat privacy. It's important.
It is important.
And let them know that you believe it's important as well.
And this is why it's so crucial and important to educate your friends and whatnot when you're out there and you're flying.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really comes down to that. I feel that so many people are interested in, talking about privacy. Everyone has a lot of views. You know what I mean? The views are numerous out there. Oh, let's see. We've got some comments here already in the DroneU community. Vic was being sarcastic and said,
Vic.
I love SB 142. It will bring more drone businesses to states like Colorado. Sucks to be a California flyer, though. And then Kevin in the community said,
The only problem with that is Colorado legislators are not that far removed philosophically from California legislators.
No.
Be very careful with that one. And he is being sarcastic, and Vic gets it, but just make no mistake about it, guys. There's a lot of this kind of feeling out there.
Well, you know, the other thing that Kevin mentions here, how will California and other states handle these decisions after the FAA regulations and guidance are actually in place?
Well, as I understand it, when you're talking about a national or a federal regulation relative to a state regulation, ultimately, the more restrictive is the one that is utilized.
True.
So in that case, in California's case, their more restrictive policies would be adhered to.
So guys, make sure you go to amagov.modelaircraft.org or search for SB 142, and make sure you comment, you call the governor's office, you blow up their phones, you let them know this is a terrible idea. Let them know why.
Take 10 minutes. That's all it'll take you.
Definitely. So thank you so much for listening to this episode. We know it's last minute, but we want you guys to have the opportunity to make a difference. So make sure you share this. Make sure you tell everyone in California who you know who has a drone to say something about this. This is a very big deal.
Absolutely. Don't stay quiet.
No, don't. And guys, if you have a question, be sure to go to askdroneu.com and upload your question. I've got one here from, it looks like, Jerry Gallegos, 71. And you know what, Rob? I'm sending it in for an accent.
You're sending it? Uh-oh. Well, okay, so give Jerry a break.
Nope.
Because this came, see, here we go, good cop, bad cop. He sent this in before your little announcement about Fiverr. So we got to give him a break.
All right, this is the last one. This is the last one.
I'm just going to take this, put it away over here. Poor Paul. It's all of it.
Oh, gosh. All right, guys, well, that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Ask Drone U.
Thanks for listening to the Ask Drone U podcast. Submit your questions at www.askdroneu.com.